Okay, so first of all, I would like to thank the organizer.
Okay, it's working? Okay.
So first, I would like to thank the organizers for the opportunity to give this talk. And as Pedro said, I'm going to talk about classical integrability of Green-Schwarz-Sigma models with open string boundary conditions. And this is based on this recent paper in collaboration with Yaron Oz. So usually when we think about integrability for the ADS5, for strings propagating in the ADS5 process 5 background, then we talk about closed strings. And then we know that this model is integrable. But we can also think about open strings. And these, in principle, can break, they break some of the symmetry and can ruin all the integrable structure. And these open strings are attached to D-brains, so we talk about D-brains, and these will be just probe D-brains. And but we have evidence for integrability in the presence of such boundary conditions. There is this nice review by Zubos, and we know there are open spin chains in all of these examples for the giant graviton and the 3D7 systems, and also for this new 3D5 system. And this is at weak coupling, and also we have some evidence for integrability by looking at the symmetries of the S matrix. So this is the work by these guys. And at strong coupling, people only show that we have integrable structure of the sigma model only for the bosonic sector, and only for maximal giant graviton and the 3D7 system. And for the D5 system, the procedure that people use to show integrability was unsuccessful, so this is a bit puzzling because we know it should be integrable from this point of view. So what I want to do is to to classify the integrable D-brain boundary conditions at strong coupling, so just by looking at the sigma model, and to analyze the complete sector. So the evidence here is just for the bosonic sector, so I will consider also the fermions. And on the way, I will show how we can see that this is indeed integrable at strong coupling. So the outline will be the following. So I'll be starting with very basic stuff about integrability of the Green-Schwarz-Sigma model. So I'll be brief in this part, and it will be good to set up the notation, and then we can easily understand the problem for open string boundary conditions. And then I will move to the main part, which is to talk about the open strings. So first I will introduce a class of D-brains, and then I will show that all of these D-brains are actually classically integrable. And then I will show a classification of these D-brains for the ADS5 Corsair 5 open string, and also some examples for the ADS4 Corsair CP3 background. So let's start with closed strings. When we talk about closed strings in ADS5 Corsair 5, so we have the Green-Schwarz-Sigma model, which was introduced by Metzeit and Zeitlin. And this sigma model is constructed on a supercosset background, and using a special property of this background, which is the Z4 grading, we can have this infinite set of conserved charges by constructing this generating function, which is the monodomain matrix. So now I will very briefly show how to construct these models, what are the symmetries, and why they are integrable. So the models I will consider are supercosset models. So we have this supergroup G, and we would like to take the quotient with respect to some subgroup H. And For all of these Li supergroups, we have several Z4 automorphism maps. And the automorphism map just acts on the algebra, taking the elements to some other elements with this coefficient. So we have the composition of the algebra. So this G0 and G2 are bosonic, and G1 and G3 are fermionic. And the coset is constructed with taking the quotient with respect to the invariant subgroup under this Z4 automorphism. So the well-known example are the ADS5 coset 5 and ADS4 coset CP3. And now we'd like to construct an action with the symmetry. So we will have these global isometries and this local symmetry of H and kappa symmetry. So in order to do that, we introduce this Mauer-Cartan one form. And because of the Z4 automorphism, it also decomposes to these pieces. And then the result is that this is the action. Okay, so this is the sigma model we will consider. And its symmetries are, we have these global symmetries with multiplication from the left and right multiplication for a local symmetry. And we also have this local fermionic symmetry, which is called kappa symmetry. And it acts, again, as a multiplication from the right, but this time, this element is the exponent of this kappa hat, and this kappa hat is some local fermionic object. So, and its structure is just the commutator of this J2 with this kappa, which are constant matrices. And then we know that because of the Z4 grading, we have we can have this Lux connection. So this is the form that I will use with this small j, so that this A will be gauge invariant. And this A, so it satisfies this flatness condition. And you can just prove it using the equations of motion, the Mauer-Cartan equations. And then when you have such a flat connection, then you can construct the transition matrix or the transform matrix, which is just the path order exponent of this integral. And the important property of this, one of its important properties is that its time derivative is looks like this commutator, but just know that here we have x dependent and here we have y dependent. And now if we consider clustering, then we have periodic boundary conditions, and then we can construct the monodromy matrix, which is if the string length is L. And using these periodic boundary conditions, then you can easily see that the time derivative of this super trace of this monodromy matrix is zero. So, so this is the basic construction of this function, which is a generating function for an infinite set of conserved charges. And obviously, now if we do not assume this condition of periodicity, this construction fails. Like the super trace of the monodromy is not zero anymore. And now the question is whether we can remedy this thing, or did we lose all integrability? And the answer is that sometimes we can use a procedure due to Skelenin that enable us to preserve the integrable structure. So this method, I think it was introduced in the early 90s, the late 80s. And since then, it was applied for several sigma, several models with boundaries. And the interesting case for us is this paper when Mann and Vasquez, they considered the ADS5 coset 5 string but only the bosonic sector, so they used the principal Kalman model. And as I mentioned before, they could show that the bosonic sector of the maximal giant graviton and G3D7 system is integrable, while this procedure, which I will introduce in a moment, fails for the D5 brain. But you should note one thing, that the failure of this procedure, of course, does not rule out integrability, so there is still chance that this D5 brain is integrable. So what I'm going to do next is to introduce a class of D-brains, and then I will show that they are integrable and give their classification. So let's start with D-brains. So when we consider such a pair of D-brains, we take the variation of the action, we look at the boundary term, and then we want that the boundary term will vanish. So these are the boundary conditions. And for the Green-Schwarz-Segal model that I showed before, this is the boundary term. So what we have here is this piece which looks like the spatial component of the Noether current. And we have this piece which is the variation is G minus 1 delta G. So it looks a bit like this J1 form, but of course it's not a one form, but it shares lots of its properties. And now the boundary conditions that I consider are the following. So we have this omega, which is an automorphism map, but this is not the Z4 automorphism map. Okay, it has nothing to do with it. The only properties we want this omega to have is one is that it will be involutive, so if I act twice, it gives me back the same element, and to be metric preserving. So such an automorphism map with these boundary conditions, so the boundary term vanishes and the action is invariant. And just know that this piece, okay, that looks like the Noether current part, so it transforms under omega with a minus sign. So we have to require that this omega transforms with a plus sign. So now let's consider the symmetries of these boundary conditions. So as I said, the omega of delta should be delta, should be invariant. So if you consider kappa symmetry, then delta is just this kappa hat, which is the commutator of J2 with these constant fermionic matrices. And if we require this condition, then we get this boundary condition for these constant matrices. So we lose half of the symmetry. And this is because this omega is a linear operator, so it kills exactly half of them. And if we consider supersymmetry, then this delta acts, it looks like G minus 1 epsilon G, where this epsilon is now odd supermetrics, and we have these two components, this epsilon 1 and epsilon 3. And later we will see that we will have two kinds of automorphisms. So one is that it takes omega of A, B is just omega of A times omega of B, and then we should have that omega of G is G. And this condition gives us this relation between these constant matrices. So it breaks exactly half of the supersymmetry. And if we look, we can also have this kind of automorphism, and then G transforms to minus the inverse of G, and then again, half of the supersymmetry is broken, half is preserved. So these are half BPS D-brains. And we can write this relation more nicely using the flat connection. So all the boundary conditions that I showed before are encoded in these two equations. And if we use these conformal coordinates, it is even more compactly written here, just omega of A of Z equals A bar of Z minus 1. So this is our boundary conditions. And already from here, you can understand that there will be some relation with integrability since we are imposing the boundary condition on the flat connection. So I think it makes sense. And until now, all this construction was very abstract, so let me just explain a bit about the geometric interpretation. So the geometry of the Dibbrin will be described by the bosonic part. The bosonic boundary conditions. And we have this condition on J2. So, and J2 is spanned by all the flat, all the tangent directions, okay, the translation of the superalgebra. And this P is decomposed under this omega into generators with plus eigenvalues and minus eigenvalues. And the ones with the plus eigenvalues will be the Neumann the Neumann directions, and the one with the minus will be the Dirichlet directions. And if you want to see really the geometry now, you just plug the Wheelbinds, and you can see very easily which Dibbrin to get. So the next thing I will show is that these Dibbrins are classically integrable. So I told you there is this method how to construct this generating function in the presence of non-trivial boundary conditions. So if you want to adopt this this procedure to these sigma models, then the generating function will look like this. So this T of Z will replace the monodromy matrix, and what we have, so we have this string which ranges from 0 to pi, and now we have this piece which just go from 0 to pi, and then we have this reflection matrix, so this is just some constant matrix, and then we have the inverse of this guy, so we go back, but now with z to the minus 1, and then we have another reflection matrix, and the interpretation of this z to the minus 1 is just a parity transformation. So it makes sense. And now we want the super trace of this quantity to be a constant. So we look what happens when we just take the time derivative of the super trace. And then we get these conditions on we get these conditions, and the problem is to find these U matrices that are consistent with the boundary conditions. And now we can define this automorphism map, which I call omega U, which is just a conjugation with these U matrices. And then this boundary condition looks just the same as the boundary condition from the Dibbrins that we introduced before, and just but know that this is a very special kind of automorphism. So this is an automorphism that acts like a conjugation with two matrices. And when we consider the Dibbrin, then the automorphism was restricted only to be involutive and metric preserving. So we're probably missing something, and so this is the next point, that instead of this t to the minus 1 that I had, so I can introduce a new function which is looks the same as the transform matrix, but now I have this automorphism that acts on A. And now I define this new quantity. So if omega is 1, I return to the previous one. And now, if I require that this super trace of this new quantity is 0, and I define this new composition of automorphisms, so this automorphism that appears here together with the conjugation with the U matrices, then I get this condition, and this is exactly the condition that defined the D brace. What we just saw is that all of these D brains that I defined before are actually integrable. And now, all the discussion till now was very abstract, I think. So let's just take a look at two examples so it will be clearer. So the first one is the maximal giant graviton. So we consider the ADS5 process 5 metric in global coordinates, and the boundary condition for the maximal giant graviton is just O equals 0 and theta tilde equals 0. And then if we look at the worksheet components of this J2, this is the result that we get. And remember that we had this condition that omega of J tau equals J tau and omega of J sigma equals omega of J sigma with a minus sign. So now the problem is to find some automorphism that gives these results. So we start with just using reflection matrices, and indeed we can find this combination of matrices that gives us exactly these conditions. And this is the analysis for the bosonic sector. Now we would like to add the fermions. So write the coset representative G as the GB, which is just the bosonic part that we had, and times GF, which is E to the F, and F is theta times Q, where all the indices are contracted. And if you remember, we had this condition that omega of G should equal G. So if you apply it to this G, you just get the condition that omega of F equals F. And now you can act with omega on F. So omega acts only on the superalgebra variables. So theta, nothing happened with it, and it acts on Q. And it acts on the matrix indices. So now we trade this transformation with a transformation on the spin or indices. We can do that. So here U is a 8x8 matrix, and here it's a 32x32 tensored with some epsilon matrix. And then if we compare this F to this one, we get the boundary condition for the fermions. So this is the condition. And if we also apply this this condition, then we get that these are the boundary conditions for the fermionic degrees of freedom. Now we should check if this is consistent. So these fermions are my 1 of I. So we should check that they are still my 1 of I after this boundary condition was applied. So, and also that omega is involutive. And after doing that, you find that some combination of these, you find these coefficients, and the spinor matrix looks like this. So this is a plausible result because we have here all the direction, all the Neumann directions of the D-brain. And this epsilon is just to take J2 to J3. So this is the maximal giant graviton result. Now we have this ADS4 course S2, which was problematic. So let's see what's going on with this one. So now I write the metric in Poincaré coordinates. And the boundary conditions are to choose one of the flat directions of the ADS to be zero and to have a sphere on the S5. So now if we look at the voltage components of this J2, we get these two currents. And again, we can look for some reflection matrices that are consistent with these conditions. But the problem is that there is no such solution. So, and now we remember that actually we can use some more general automorphisms. And indeed, this is the correct thing to do. So we consider now this automorphism, which is first to take the minus super transpose of the matrix and then to conjugate with these reflection matrices. And then, indeed, we can find this U matrix, and you can repeat the analysis that we needed for the fermions, and you get that this is indeed a consistent boundary condition. And just note that here we have this matrix that before it was the product of gamma matrices, the 32 by 32 gamma matrices. But now the gamma matrices, so usually you write them as a tensor product of the ADS times the sphere times some 2x2 matrix. So now the sphere and the ADS matrices are interchanged. So this has to do with this super transposition. And I think also the people that looked at the S matrix, they see something similar, which Vidas explained to me yesterday. So these were the two examples, and now we can consider a general solution. So we had all these consistency conditions that the matrix, the automorphism is involutive, and this relation with the Z4 automorphism that it should take J1 to J3 and J2 to J2, etc. And we want to preserve the chirality and the Majorana condition, so we should have some even number of gamma matrices, and we can follow this Majorana condition. And then if we apply all of these conditions, we find that if we use only reflection matrices, then we can only have this kind of debris. So the notation is that in the parentheses, the first element gives you the dimension of the Neumann, how many Neumann directions you have in the ADS part, and here you see how many Neumann directions you have in the sphere. So this, for example, can be the maximal giant graviton, and this can be the D7 system, and then you can just try to find all the results, and these are some examples. So you have many integrable D-brains. And if you consider the second kind of automorphism, which acts in this way, then you find that the number of Neumann directions in both the ADS and the sphere should be even, and we only have the 0, 2, 2, 0, 2, 4, and 4, 2 D-brains. And then you can also find many integrable D-brains, and this is the D5 D-brain. And you can also apply this procedure for any other supercosset space, so for example, for the ADS4 CP3. And then if you look at the classification of automorphisms, then here you just have automorphism that acts like a conjugation. And again, you can try to find many examples of integrable configurations. So just a list. And that's it. So let me summarize. So I just showed you that there is a class of integrable D-brains, half PPS D-brains. We saw that they are integrable, and we also confirmed the integrability of the ADS4 courses too. It's strong coupling. And now there are many interesting things that you can do. One thing is to try and find a less supersymmetric integrable configuration. So I don't think we know such configurations, but if they exist, it could be very interesting. And this analysis, so it was all classical, and if you want to think about what happens at the quantum level, so I guess a good approach would be to look at the pure spin-off formalism. So there, it could be easier to prove using all these BLST arguments that these charges survive also at the quantum level, because the boundary conditions are the same, and just you add this another condition on the ghost. Okay, so this classification was just for the ADS5 process 5, but there are many interesting other superconducting backgrounds, so I think it's interesting to see what the results are there. And we have, so I've shown that there are many integrable D-brains that were not considered before. So it's interesting to find what is the interpretation, as well as to see if they're really integrable also at weak coupling. So that's it. Thanks.
Questions? Yes. Okay. Ah, there is a question in front. Who?
In the meantime. So, is there any connection that you can see between the U's that you found and the boundary S matrices that are known?
Okay, so I'm not sure about it. So I talked about it a little bit yesterday with Vidas, and so I think so the U matrix has, I'm not sure how they're related to the boundary conditions, but these two different kinds of boundary conditions. One, when you take also the super transpose, I think this is related to all these archiral boundary conditions that they found. But just the use, I don't know. Because in the classification, you can see that, I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, that there are cases where the symmetries of the S matrix are the same for several different D-brain configurations. And here, you always get different U matrices, so I'm not sure what is the relation.
So you had various different configurations. So I assume that you can have, like, for example, you had a 0,2 where it was, so I guess it's completely fixed in the ADS5 direction. That's what that means?
Yeah, so.
That the 0 means it's completely, for the 0, it's completely fixed in all five directions. Huh?
Right.
Okay, so I assume that you can have multiple copies. As long as you don't break any supersymmetry, nothing happens to integrability in that case.
Yeah, so you can also have different copies, and then you break the supersymmetry, and then you have only a quarter of the original supersymmetry.
Okay, so but in the case where you break some of the supersymmetries, do you still have some integrability, or do you know?
Yes, that's what I showed. Is you can construct this generating function for this infinite set of conserved charges. So. I guess it's less.
Well, sorry, but okay. Well, I thought that was just for, okay, if you broke some of the supersymmetry, say, but if you can break even more and you still preserve it? I mean, do you have different levels of supersymmetry?
So I think if you take two different integrable D-brains that breaks another half of the supersymmetry, I think you can still have some integrable structure. I think so.
And you showed that you can show. I thought you just did it if you just had one sort of configuration. I didn't know you had multiple. Okay.
So I didn't mention it, but you can. I think you can have two different configurations, and then you break more supersymmetry and still see integrability.
Okay. So let's thank Amit again. So today we have